Hebrews chapter 5, we'll read verses 9 through 14. I'll read verse 9 and you read verse 10 with me. Hebrews chapter 5, I'll read verse 9 and you read verse 10 with me. We'll read down to verse 14. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And let's pray together. Father, please help us as we look into your word. Please, Lord, strengthen each person here so, Lord, we could bring glory to your name and live for you. We need your help because, Father, the building can be clean, everything just right. But, Father, without your touch and presence, it's so useless. So, please, deal with us as your children. Strengthen us as your people. And, Lord, please help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look there at verse number 11, it says here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing, that means God is speaking and nobody's listening. Then notice the next verse. It says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And if you're wondering what those first principles are, they're in chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. There used to be a group of Baptists in America called First Principle Baptists, and they got their doctrine from Hebrews chapter 6. We're not going to look at that this morning, but he said, you've been in church long enough, and you've been taught enough that you should be teachers, but you haven't grown. And he said, and you're become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So this word milk and meat are put at opposite ends, and I want you to understand what they are this morning. It says strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, he's using a physical illustration of eating to picture spiritual growth. I mean, if you use this as physical, praise the Lord, I love hunting. I love shooting Bambi. I love shooting the animal when it is cowering in fear. It just makes me think it's going to taste better. Amen. And if you'll just fry it and smother it in gravy, it'll be awesome. All right? Now, that's men. Men like meat. Amen. And all this vegan talk. I don't mind if you're vegan, but bless God, I like meat. Amen. I like my steak thick. Amen. I don't like minute steak. Whoever thought that a woman had to come up with that? No man ever says, you know, I wish I had a piece of steak about a 16th of an inch slice thick. No man ever said that. At any rate. Okay, here we go. Let's get back to the message. What is milk? Milk is pre-digested food that is nutrients for a baby because its system can't handle anything else. I don't care if it's cow's milk. It does not make any difference. Milk is always, no matter what the source is, it's pre-digested food. And it is nutrients put on the level of a baby. Listen closely. Spiritual milk is what you get in Sunday school. And this morning, I take the Word of God, and I break it down, and I give it back to you so you can have the spiritual nutrients to grow. This morning is a milk message. Tonight's message will be milk. It is meditated and digested spiritual food given to help you grow. That's what's in Sunday school. Now, spiritual meat is when you read your Bible. You meditate. You think on it. You study it, and through your own work and your labor, You break down the truths of God's word and let it nourish and feed you. And the correction of the scripture is this. There's some of you that cannot read your Bible on your own. It means nothing to you. That either means you're lost or you're a baby Christian. But we're supposed to grow to where, look, I'm not trying to preach anything new. There's some of you, you've read this scripture before. I might bring an aspect across to you that you haven't heard before, but I don't try to preach new things. I'm told as a pastor to put you in remembrance of what God has said, right? These Christians are being reproved because they can only handle milk. They can't read the Bible for themselves. I expect a new Christian to say, as a matter of fact, some of you have come to me and you've said, Pastor, when I read, I'm having a really hard time. And I'll read the Bible with you. And I think, because my pastor read the Bible with me and helped me. And I had older Christians that I could sit down with and say, this means I had some wonderful teachers. Wonderful teachers. I have no problem with wanting to learn it. It's when you say, the Bible means nothing to me, or I don't read because I don't get anything out of my Bible. Listen closely. If you believe in eating meat, you should eat meat. And if you say you're a Bible believer, then shouldn't you be a Bible reader? That's a good thought. It's a good thought. If you say you believe the Bible is the Word of God, then shouldn't you read it? People read books about the Bible, but they don't read the Bible. People watch movies and DVDs about the Bible, but they don't read the Bible. Here, it says strong meat in verse 14, belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God's plan for your life and every person in here is to be able to read the Bible and apply it to where you can say that is right and that is wrong. That pleases the Lord. That does not please the Lord. Because of what the Bible says. That is, you're supposed to be able to discern good and evil. That's God's plan for every Christian. Now, look what God told the king to do. Take your Bible and go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And God tells the king of Israel, if he's going to rule properly, if he's going to be a good king, it is amazing what God told the leader to do. God already said, those that rule over men should do it in the fear of the Lord. The only good leadership is righteous leadership. Now, with that in mind, notice Deuteronomy chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 15. Ready? Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, Solomon did, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. So don't go any more to Egypt where he delivered you from. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, Solomon did, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So God's telling a king of Israel how he's supposed to rule. Notice the next verse, verse 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, watch, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. God told the king, when you get ready to rule over my people, the first thing you're supposed to do is not read the Bible, but make you a copy of it. The king was supposed to look and copy, and make a copy in a book, and then the five reasons for him to carry it with him the whole time. The king is there below. This, how should he read it all the days of his life? He's supposed to read it all the days of his life that he's ruling. Can I tell you this morning, child of God, I told you, if you already have a Bible reading plan, that's great, but most people don't. I think it's good for you to read a Proverbs a day, I think. It does not tell you in the Bible how to read the Bible, but it does say to read the Bible. Amen? And there's nobody that would argue with that. As a matter of fact, it becomes kind of repulsive. Even the world knows that. If they find out you're a Christian and they go, okay, how many times have you read it through?
It's a big book. I didn't read anything like that in high school that big. You know, it's a big...
What? You've never read it one time? How long you been saved? How long you been in church? Never read it one time?
Well, parts of it. I mean, preacher, he puts like, good grief, we got to read a book like every time we come to church.
That's a joke, okay. Christian, if you started with a Proverbs a day, all right, today is the 29th. You could have read Proverbs chapter 29. You could have read Psalms 29. And we'll let you know what you read tomorrow, right? Proverbs 30 and Psalm 30. You could read five pages a day. If you take the church calendar, it's five chapters a day till you get to June, and then it switches to six chapters a day. This will put you through the Bible one time and Psalms twice and Proverbs 12 times in a year. If you read the Bible 10 pages a day, not chapters, 10 pages, it'll put you through your Bible three times in a year. If you'll read 27 chapters a day, 9 in the morning, 9 at noon, and 9 in the evening, it'll put you through your Bible seven times in a year. Everybody should have a plan at reading their Bible. That morning, read it all the days of his life, but read it every day. Why should you read God's word all the days of your life? Verse 19 starts, reason number one. The first one is that he may learn to fear the Lord is God. I'm going to take each one of these this morning and show you the importance why you should read your Bible. That he may learn to fear the Lord is God. Reason number one. When you read God's word, you're taught the fear of the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? I know everybody go, I'm a God-fearing man. You know, that's what my boss used to say. You know, smoking only a cigarette, you know. I fear God. You know, he's a nice guy, but I tried to witness to him, and he was Episcopalian and didn't really want anything to do with Jesus. Listen to this verse. What is the fear of God? God says in Job 28:28, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So, fearing God is realizing that he's always watching you. Fearing God, why would you depart from evil? Because you realize it doesn't please the Lord. And God sees you in the dark. He sees you every... God's not just in church. Excuse me, well, what a stupid way to think. Well, when we're at church, we act one way. But when we go home, God's just as much in your home as he is here. If you can keep your finger there in Deuteronomy, we're going to come back to it. I'm going to keep referring to Deuteronomy 18. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Right in the middle of your Bible, past Psalms. I want to show you something. Proverbs chapter 1. I think it's important. God says, if you will read my word day and night, all the days of your life, the first thing it teaches you to do is fear God. And it's amazing. We live in a Bible-ignorant society. And see, when I start talking to people about reading their Bible, if you get past a chapter a day, people start freaking out. They're going, what? More than one chapter? Most read the Daily Bread, which is about 10 or 12 verses, and then it's a description. Can I tell you something? That is a starting point. That is not an ending point. And it is amazing to me how many people are satisfied with a bite-sized Christianity, just enough to not make a difference. I like what one Christian told me. He said, my past is so wicked, and I got so much filthy music in my mind. I got so much filth in my past. He said, when I sit down and read my Bible, it takes me 10 chapters, he said, before I start getting anything out of it because my mind is so dirty. I was like, wow, that's a good way to think. But when you start talking to people and you say, hey, let's reading the Bible, it should be a part of a Christian's life. It should not be something... I'll mention it again, but this bite-sized Christianity of I take just a little bit of this and just, look, when it comes to the Bible, you ought to want the whole cake, amen? My wife made some cinnamon rolls. She said, you can just eat one. I said, why? I want them all. You say, why? They taste good. They're good. Shouldn't it be the same thing with the Bible? But if you come there and you just, okay, done. I'll say it again. It's a bite-sized Christianity. Know this about the fear of the Lord. As you read the Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 24. God says, because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. I think this is one of the most sobering chapters in the Bible. God says, if you refuse my correction and my instruction, can you actually picture God laughing at a tragedy? Isn't that what it says? I think this is a very sobering chapter. Okay, God says, I called, nobody listened. Watch, verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Here's what I wanted to show you, verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not, keyword, choose the fear of the Lord. You choose to fear God. And if you will read your Bible, you learn that that is the best choice to make. And the more you read your Bible, the more you realize that is the choice I need. But nobody automatically fears God. Nobody automatically recognizes God's presence. It's God's word is what reminds you God's in control. God's almighty. God's powerful. He knows what he's doing and you can trust him. Make that choice and don't say no to the Bible, right? It is a choice. Fearing God, that's nothing spooky. There's no spoofle dust. There's no sprinkles involved. As a matter of fact, take your Bible. You're in Proverbs 1. Look at Proverbs 23. Just want to show you something about the fear of the Lord. So the first benefit of reading the Bible, you know, you realize what you have to do to copy something when God told the king to copy his word? Look and think. And look and think. They say some learn by looking, some learn by writing, and some learn by hearing. Do you realize copying uses two, writing and learning? God says, I want it imprinted in your brain. I want it in you. Okay, look at Proverbs 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That tells me this, when you choose to fear God, you choose to do what's right. You don't look at people and go, I wish I could run drugs like they do, or I wish I had that much, I wish I could live that way. Or feel. God says when you're envying sinners, you're not fearing God. Look, you ought to be able to look at the pimps, look at the stinking drug runners, look at the people listening to the filthy music. They don't sleep well. You can't buy a good night's sleep. You don't see them toss and turn in their bed. You don't see how miserable they are. You don't see how they're looking around, hope nobody finds out what I did. When you're envying sinners, God says you're not in the fear of the Lord. What I want to show you this morning, fearing God is a choice. You fear God because you're determined you're going to do right and hate evil. You don't let your emotions and your flesh run you. You're determined to run your flesh and your emotions. When you read God's word, it gives you the power to choose the fear of the Lord. Reading God's word charges your spiritual battery so you have the energy to do right. Reading your Bible gives you the strength to choose what is right. Now go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Let's look at the next. There's five reasons to read your Bible. Five reasons. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Look at the second reason. He says, first of all, in verse 19, that he may learn to fear the Lord as God. Here's the second reason. To keep all the words of this law and these statutes. And then I have underlined in my Bible two words, to do them. The word keep means to guard and protect. The word do is obviously obedience. When you read your Bible, it becomes your measure of truth that you know God by. The more you read the Bible, the more you learn it and you can recognize error. There was a man, he wanted to learn about jade, so he goes to this expert. And this man was supposed to be the world-renowned expert on jade, you know, the the stone, jade, the mineral and all that. And the guy said, he said, would you take 6 months and I'd like to learn what you know about jade? And the guy said, okay. He said, you come to me, don't ask any questions, do everything I say for 6 months. And he said, and I'll teach you about jade. Guy comes the first day, knocks on the door. The man meets him. He says, how you doing today? And he puts in his hand a piece of jade. Man holds the jade. He walks him around his whole house and talks to him about everything except what's in his hand. The close of the day, gives it back. Next day, comes again. The man gives him a different piece of jade. Takes him, shows him other things around his house, shows him, talks about this, talks about the weather, talks about this happening. Never about anything about jade. This goes on day after day after day. For 6 months, the man finally gets fed up to hear it. About 6 months, he goes, he hasn't said one thing about jade. Not one. Guy knocks on his door. He's going to give him peace of his mind. He said, hey, he said, he puts something in his hand. And he goes, I just want to, hey, that's not jade. The guy looked at him and goes, I helped you handle it so much, you know what's not jade. You know it after you've handled it every day. Look, there's some things, I feel sorry for people that are trained on the internet, but there's things I can hear because I spend time in the Bible that I'm going, that's not Bible. It's religious talk. It's spiritual talk, but it's not Bible. It sounds spiritual. And the more you read the Bible, the more you can learn and you become accustomed to what God, you become accustomed to what's right. And you can sense what's wrong. And Christians that don't spend time in the Bible are prone to be caught up in the errors. There's so much false teaching out there, so much garbage. If you read your Bible, you would learn about the author, God Almighty. If you don't read your Bible, all you're going to ever know about God is what somebody else tells you. Doesn't that bug you? When you could learn for yourself what God has written and what God has said. When you don't read the Bible, you actually start thinking God is like you. And you start thinking if it makes you mad, it makes God mad. And if it makes you sad, it makes God sad. And if it makes you glad, it makes God glad. And all this stuff. And you literally start thinking, because you don't have a measuring stone. So you think God's like you, and God's not like you. God's not like you. People who don't know the book will say something, and then they think God agrees with it just because they said it. Until you read the book, you don't learn God. Listen closely, because there are things that God did in the Bible that I don't like. But God is never wrong. And you can disagree with God as long as God's always right. Listen to what I just said. You can disagree with God as long as you always know God's right. For instance, if we were to decide this morning, if we brought two men in here, and we said, we're going to decide this morning who needs to be put to death because of what they've done. And we said, this man right here has committed murder. And you said, okay, well, he needs to be put to death. Look, I understand capital punishment. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. I understand that. I'm for capital punishment. But if we said, you don't even want to know what this man's done? Well, this man's committed murder. Okay, what'd this guy do? Well, he was gathering sticks on Sunday. You'd say, well, put the murderer to death. Think with me just for a second. God did not put several people in the Bible to death because they committed murder. Cain killed his brother, murdered him. God didn't kill him. Moses killed a man. God didn't kill Moses. David murdered a man to cover up an adulterous affair and a baby, and God didn't kill David. But when you read Leviticus, it says if anybody is gathering sticks on Sunday, he's to be put to death. We disagree with that. But God's always right. Let me give you another case. If we said, here's two men this morning, we're going to decide who's going to be put to death. You say, well, what'd this guy do? He committed adultery. Well, then put that guy to death. You say, well, what'd this guy do? Well, he hit his thumb with a hammer and he took God's name in vain. Well, put the adulterer to death. Did you know there's a verse in Leviticus that says, whoso taketh God's name in vain, he shall not be held guiltless? When you use God's name as a cuss word, in the Old Testament, God would have put him to death. Look, knowing what you know about David, committed adultery, murdered a husband. There are things I may disagree with God on, but I know God's right. Do you realize God honored the union of David and Bathsheba with Solomon? Put him in the lineage? We wouldn't have done that.
Right? Well, that guy, he killed somebody's wife to cover. I mean, I'm sure the kid's good, but you see what I mean? So when you disagree with God, as you read the Bible, you learn there are things that God does that you and I wouldn't do, but God's still right. God's never wrong. Here, let me give you something else. Would God kill innocent people? Yes. Read the book of Job. All the servants except one, all of Job's children. The fire came. The marauders came. What'd they do? Remember, it just says, I alone have escaped. You disagree. I don't like it, but I also know God's always right. As you read the Bible, you learn what God does, and you learn how God works. And if you don't read the Bible, you actually think God does things your way. Here, let's take something that's... If you were God, and you know so many people a year are going to get cancer, who would you give it to? If I was God, I would make sure no pastor's wife ever got cancer. That's how I would do it. But I know pastors whose wives have died of cancer. Everybody see what I'm talking about? I learned to accept God's workings, and God does things differently because God sees what I can't see. And look, I may disagree with God. I may not like what's going on, but I know God's always right. Amen. Now, if you don't read your Bible, then you don't learn the author of the book. You start thinking God's like you and God's not like you. The Bible is my measure of what's right and what's wrong. When you read your Bible, God, you start seeing Him. God is not unreasonable and God is not inconvenient. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Look at verse 20. Here's the third reason. Why should you read your Bible all the days of your life? Number three, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. So, God says if you'll read your Bible, it keeps you in check. It'll keep your heart from being lifted up. Now, there's only three people in the Bible whose hearts were ever lifted up. Hezekiah, Uzziah, and Lucifer. And all three of them, their hearts were lifted up when they were at the pinnacle of their success. And when their heart was lifted up because of their pride, is the day they fell. God says, if you'll read your Bible, it'll keep your heart from being lifted up. And you won't think of yourself more highly than you should. When you read the Bible, it strengthens your humility. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for I say unto you, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Reading your Bible helps keep... Look, until Jesus comes back for me, I cannot get rid of sin in my life, but I can suppress it. I am not sin-free. There's things I used to do in my life that I don't do anymore. I have not arrived. I am not sinless. Amen. But one reason I read my Bible... Look, I'm told in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Your heart is not wicked. Your heart is desperately wicked. You know what desperate means? Desperate means reaching for and screaming for it. God says that's every one of our hearts. When you read the Bible, you're reminded of what you are, a sinner before God. Read your Bible. So, look, I read my Bible. Yes, I get sermons. Yes, I get truths. But one of the greatest benefits I get from reading my Bible is it suppresses the wickedness in the most evil man I know, me. The biggest struggle to my Christian life is the one I shave and brush my teeth in the mirror. I'm my biggest obstacle. Nobody else is. It's nobody else's fault when I sin. It's mine, right? If you would read your Bible, it'll keep your heart from being lifted up. And it suppresses the evil that is within you so that you don't do the things that you know are wrong. Here, let's move on here. Look at verse 20, reason number four. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, watch this, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. When you read your Bible, it gives you strength to live right. It feeds you spiritually so you can keep from falling. It gives you strength to keep your eyes focused on the Lord so you don't waver. back and forth. Well, one day I'm going to live for God and one day I'm not. One day I'm going to stay faithful to church and one day I'm not. God says here that you turn not from the right hand or to the left and that you keep your life going the way God wants you to. Look, God's word, this book is so powerful. It's what saves you. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. That book is what saves you. God tells us the word of God is Jesus Christ, the truth. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. I can show you, this Bible, God says, if you got a King James Bible, you have Jesus in your hands. He is the living word, this is the written word. And this is as close as you're going to get to him till one day we see him face to face. Right? And if you aren't spending time in your Bible, you're not spending time with the Lord. Well, I love Jesus. How much time do you spend with him? How much time do you let him influence you? Look, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There is a freedom in the Christian life. Freedom from what? A freedom from the dominance of sin. I did not say sinless perfection. I'm saying there is victory to be gained and a freedom from the bondage of sin by reading the Bible. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, take your Bible and go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll show you something here. This morning's message is on the importance. Look, we're getting ready to start a new year. I hope Jesus comes tonight. That would be wonderful. Amen? But what plans do you have in 2020 of reading your Bible? Look, if you've been 10 years of reading your Bible through once a year, have you ever thought of upping it and doing it twice? Four chapters a day put you through one time in a year, four chapters a day. Have you ever considered six chapters a day? Have you ever compared? So, here we go. Look at Psalm 119. Ready? Psalm 119, look at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? So let me get this straight. The more you put God's word in your life, the more it cleanses you. Now, look, let's read verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let not my heart wander from thy commandments. Please notice verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have a tendency to use that verse for scripture memory. And we'll say if you put it, God's word in your heart, memorize the Bible, it'll help keep you from sin. Listen closely. The more you read the Bible, the more it filters through your mind and into your heart, and the more it influences your decisions. And if you find yourself making decisions you've regretted, if you would put more Bible in your life, you'd make better decisions. You say, how do you know? Because thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And the more Bible I put in my life, and the more I read that book, the stronger I get for God, and the more I can make better decisions, and I'm going to make this statement, and the less I sin, the less I do things I regret. Look, as your pastor, when I hear this, 2019 was a rough year for me. If I hear somebody say this, 2019 was a rough year for me, there's some things I really that wish wouldn't have happened. You know what I would tell you? This isn't a cop-out. I'd say, if you'd up your Bible reading, you could have a better year in 2020. See, anytime somebody hears that, that's because they're so used to this bite-sized Christianity. Look, they'll spend an hour and a half watching a movie. Some of the stupid things are 3 hours long. They'll spend an hour and a half watching a movie, and they wouldn't think about an hour of reading the Bible. They'll watch an hour and a half movie every night. But God gets 5 minutes. So, let me preach for a minute. You'd let a Hollywood producer that hates God, where they fornicate and where they make all the, they drink, they do all the stuff that God hates, influence you for an hour and a half, but you can't read the Bible longer than 5 minutes? And you think there's going to be good that comes from that? Every day? Do you realize, Lester Roloff made this statement, since the TV, we have not had revival in America, and we won't have it either. It's because it's too captivating. The entertainment. Oh, what do you mean you're supposed to read this? Where's the pictures? There's no pictures. Now watch. Now you couple that with up in Baltimore. They said 90% of the graduates last year couldn't read. You combine a picture-based society with a society that cannot read, and then you ask them to read the Bible.
You're on another planet. I'm trying to tell you this morning, you need to land on a different planet. The more Bible you put in your life, the more it strengthens you and the more it helps you. It's all through your Bible. This isn't the only place. I'm trying to show you. Read your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Let's go back there and let's look at the last reason. It says here, Deuteronomy 17. Look at verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. That I have the words underlined, prolong his days. So when you read your Bible, it adds life to you. It makes you last longer. How is that? Listen closely. Our universe is dying. It is a closed system. Okay? What do you mean by closed? That means you can't put anything in it. Your gas tank would be closed if you put a locking gas cap on it and never put gas in it again. No matter how you try to preserve it, coast, all that, it is eventually going to run out and it's going to die. Our universe is a closed system. Everything in it is dying. The system is dying. The earth is slowing down. The moon is getting farther from the earth every year. The sun is shrinking an inch. Okay, every year from the mass it burns. That's how come it can't be millions of years old or it would have been touching the earth. All right, we've covered that. You say, how do you know it's shrinking an inch every year? Well, they measured it. I landed on it and measured it. So how come it didn't burn them up? They did it at nighttime. Okay, here, back with me. Ready? The Word of God is the only thing you can access when you read it that is outside the system that is dying. Read any other book. Watch any other movie. It's all from a dying system. When you read God's Word, you're putting things in your life from another universe, from an eternal source that is not dying. It's the only source of life. Christian, why should you read your Bible? Because it's the only life you can put in you in everything else that's dying. The Word of God, okay, Jesus said in John 6:63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me just say this. If you read the Bible and it doesn't mean anything to you, why would you advertise that? Well, I tried reading the Bible, and I just don't get anything out of it. You know the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. If you did read your Bible and you didn't get anything out of it, I wouldn't be broadcasting it. Hey, I didn't get nothing out of my Bible. Really? Are you lost? Jesus said in John 8, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Jesus said in John 8:47, ye therefore hear them not. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. If you're lost, then I would expect the Bible to mean nothing to you. It's just mumbo jumbo, dates, names. But if you're saved, then maybe something's wrong. If you're lost, praise God, you can get saved. You trust Jesus, you place your faith in him because he died for you on the cross. And then he comes inside of you. And how God, who can speak things into existence and speak the universe into existence and made you, can live inside you after you trust him. It's wonderful. This morning, the king was supposed to write a copy of the law and carry it with him all the days of his life so he could read it day and night. Can I close with this? Take your Bible. Let's look at two scriptures. Go to Joshua. We'll close with this morning. Joshua, sixth book of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1. If you want a better year in 2020, yeah, I'll tell you to set some goals, and I'm all for goals, but if you'd put more of the Bible in your life and read more of God's Word, God could help you more. God could strengthen you more for right. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And see, when we read day and night, we're going like, okay, well, let's not take this thing too far. I mean, let's not have too much Jesus. God says, we're such sinners, you can't get too much of God. Right? So but we get satisfied with this. Look, bite-sized Christianity. I read three verses. I read, a little chapter. I read a devotional, And I'm all for Spurgeon's morning and evening, and there's a whole bunch of devotionals out there. But child of God, if I write something, it's not God's word. God's word is what changes your life. This book is what adds strength to you. This book. And you only get it when you read it. Watch this. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And the word I have, there's so much in this verse. The word I have underlined is, for I underlined the word then. When you decide to put the Bible in your life, day and night, then thou shalt have good success. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. God will help you if you'll put God's word in your life. And to the degree, look, God, you can't outgive God, right? Right? So whatever degree you give God a chance, God will help you. God won't shortchange you. Let's look at one more. Go to Psalms. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. We'll close with this. This will be the last verse we look at. We looked at five reasons this morning. You're supposed to read your Bible. Why should you read your Bible? What benefits are there? Even if you're not a reader. Look, I wasn't a reader till I got saved. Look, I in high school, before I got saved, I was saved at age 20. I cheated. They had me reading, all these. I didn't. I hated English. Pastor. Okay. Cliff Notes was my best friend. You know what I mean? Y'all know, is that too old? You know what I mean? Then when I got saved and I started seeing what was in God's word, there was a hunger that God started in me. And I wanted to learn it. That's one of the biggest changes that took place in me when I got saved. Now, I'm not saying it has to happen in everybody. I'm just saying if you say, well, I'm not a reader, I wasn't either. But there's a hunger for the Bible when you get saved. There's a hunger that you ought to feed. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Ready? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Watch. And in his law, in the Bible, doth he meditate day and night. How can he not walk in the counsel of the ungodly and stay away from the wrong crowd, not stand in the way of sinners and not sit in the seat of the scornful and keeps himself from criticizing because his delight's in the law of the Lord? He puts the Bible in his life and he finds it easy to say no to sin. I don't do that. I don't talk that way. I don't hang around that crowd of people. I delight myself in the law of God. And it gives him strength to say no. Watch verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Watch. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Christian, do you have a plan to read your Bible in 2020? If you have one, great. You won't read it too much. And the more you read it, the more God will help you and strengthen you. And I fear preaching this because I'm not preaching sinless perfection. But I think I can make this with everything we've looked at this morning. The more you read your Bible, the easier it is for you to do right and say no to sin. The easier it is for you to live holy. If you'll put good in, then good comes out. But if you put bad in, guess what comes out? Bad. I hope this morning's message encourages you to read your Bible. We've got the calendar. I've got other Bible reading programs. Look, when we tell somebody about Jesus, Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again. If you'll just accept Jesus as your Savior. And when somebody says, no, I don't want Jesus, then we say what? Listen, we say Jesus died in vain, right? Well, then think with me. Did God write his word in vain? God wrote every word. If you have a King James Bible, God wrote every word. And it was meant for you to read. And if you don't read it, you mean God did something in vain. God's word will not return void. As we start 2020, how could I help you have the best year of your life? By helping you get the Bible in your life day and night. All the days of your life. I hope the message is an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth. Lord, this would require priority changes. Lord, this would require...